One check two.
Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we have attitude. We're moving, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Fans, this is the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We are live on a Tuesday late afternoon. It feels like normal, right? Tuesday night, basically. For a long time, I've been doing the show. So it feels good. It feels good to be back on a normal time frame. Hopefully, we can keep that going. Anyway, you know, I thought today would be a really short show. Not a whole lot to talk about. Maybe talk a little current fight news, talk about Joe Joyce's TKO victory, talk a little bit about the Showbox, you know, preview the DAZN card and the Fox PBC card, yada, yada, yada. Maybe read some funny, you know, boxing Twitter segment tweets, right? Nope. That's not happening. We have some stuff to talk about. Canelo Alvarez versus Caleb Plant, dead. Talks are dead in the water at this point. Maybe they'll get revisited. We don't know. Is this a ploy? Is this 100% real? All sorts of reasons on both sides of the spectrum are flooding the Twitter sphere. I don't know, man. This is just boxing right here. This is in a nutshell. And then you got to think, I mean, we're about 7 weeks away, 7 weeks and change. It's Tuesday, right? Yeah, 7 weeks and 4 days or 5 days to September 18th. And so, you know, Eddie Hearn talked about, oh, you know, there's a possibility that he'll, you know, Canelo would go up to 175 and fight Bivol or better be it. I mean, are they in camp? Because if not, they're going to have to get in camp. This is just a mess. And who knows? Maybe it's a ploy, like I mentioned. I think I said that at the top here. Maybe it is a ploy. Maybe, you know, maybe it is just the last second playing hardball, and this is what's going to finalize the deal. I really don't know. Like I said, the excuses and reasoning are just running rampant right now on boxing Twitter. I'm sure there's a bunch of YouTube channels up saying stuff like Canelo ducked, Plant outpriced himself, like all sorts of just sheer speculation. And, you know, I believe Coppinger was the one who broke the news in general about the deal basically being done. That was what my update was going to be. It was going to be a positive update about contracts getting, you know, passed back and forth. They had drafted the contract. It was just about, you know, it was just about signing them, dotting the I's, crossing the T's. In fact, Eddie Hearn had a statement not too long ago that we'll get into. That's what I was actually going to read. That from multiple sources, we heard that the contracts are sent out, yada, yada, yada. I guess they were going back and forth. So sure, we'll get into some of the speculation. I repeat, speculation on what it could be, from, you know, the ridiculous to the, well, maybe that is true. Will we ever find out? Possibly. I mean, Eddie Hearn's around, so he's going to say something. Does that mean that's going to be 100% real? I don't know. So we will lead the show with that topic. Might as well. It's a big enough topic. And then we'll get into Joe Joyce's TKO victory over Carlos to come. Some showbox stuff. Like I said, we do have Connor Benn and Adrian Granados headlining a DAZN show. That's going to be in Eddie Hearn's backyard, BBC on Fox, and on FS1. Actually, it's instead of a prelim, it's a post-lim. No, it's actually after. They've done this a couple of times before. They actually have a card post the Fox show. So we'll talk about that. There was actually a replacement that, as long as he was training, might actually work out for the main event. And then there'll be some other stuff to talk about. I was going to, update you on what Bob Arum quotes and thoughts about Crawford and Spence but Crawford and Porter. He seems to think that this deal can be done and it won't go to purse bid. I'm not totally sold on that, but you never know. You never know. We'll have some boxing news like Ryan Garcia and JoJo Diaz. How, serious is that? Good fight, by the way. That would be a really good fight. We're going to talk it through in a variety of ways. But, yeah, it's just funny. I was literally about to start the show, got something to eat, got a little caffeine in me, went on boxing Twitter, and wouldn't you know. This is boxing, like I said. And who knows, like I said. Maybe this is playing hardball. Maybe not. I don't know. I really don't know. But anyway, if this is your first time listening to the Ropadope Radio Podcast, welcome. Excuse me. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/Ropadope Radio. You don't have to go to Blog Talk and Ropadope and download the show directly from there or listen to the browser if you don't want to. You can find the platform on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker. Almost across the board. We're also part of the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network, which can be found in a variety of places. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. And one more thing, I got something for you. If you're thinking about cutting the cord or you have, not quite sure, try AT&T TV. The plans start as low as $69.99 a month. Simple pricing, no hidden fees, no annual contract. Cloud DVR is available. Can stream it anywhere on any device. And if you sign up for the choice package or above, it gives you a free year of HBO Max. That's AT&T TV. Okay. So here we are. And, there's also this, throw it on the pile of reasons or excuses, sheer speculation right now. There was this Ronald Ellis, Canelo Alvarez sparring, clip that came out and of course Canelo was getting worked over, all sorts of, it's just some funny stuff, dude. Just some funny stuff. But anyway, Michael Coppinger, the guy who told us not long ago, and I get it, this happens when it comes to breaking news, right? But not long ago said it was just a matter of, crossing the T's, dotting the I's. And now he's reporting at 1:40 Central, Canelo Alvarez, Caleb Plant, boxing fight talks broken off, sources say. Canelo Alvarez, long-time goal of becoming undisputed, blah, blah, blah. Boxing's top-tier star was on the verge of a deal with Caleb Plant, Fox pay-per-view, PPC, blah, blah, blah. A pact that was in the works for weeks. But at the 11th hour, talks have broken off over disagreements in the contract, multiple sources told ESPN on Tuesday. The contract was passed back and forth between Canelo's team and Al Haymon's Premier Boxing Champions over the weekend, sources said. And after multiple edit requests, a deal collapsed over stalemate. Talks could be revised, sources said, but time is running out. Because of Mexican Independence Weekend. And he goes on to mention Bibble or whatever, Oh, here we go. I didn't see this part yet because I literally just got the news not long ago. Alvarez's team had requested a rematch clause, a concession plant and PBC agreed to, sources said. Okay. So, you know, like I said, I mean, some of this stuff, there was a tweet, and I'm pretty sure this guy's trolling, but I guess I don't know for a fact. But they start, the tweet with sources. The reason Canelo versus Plant fell through was because Canelo wanted an 80-20 split in his favor, and Plant wanted a 65-45 split in his favor, which obviously 65-45 doesn't line up, right? Ape shit. I can't believe Plant, this, that, and the third. You really think he, even if he, it was a mistweet with 65-35 instead of, well, 65-45 instead of 35, you really think that Plant would say 60, I mean, 65-35 would be ridiculous, one. Two, generally speaking, and that's kind of where I'll start with this, generally speaking, once you've agreed to terms, the money is figured out, and that's what was told to us by Coppinger and many other sources. He's even got numbers. Now, who knows if those are real or not, but generally when the money is figured out, it's usually a done deal. It's usually a done deal. Now, there can be little go-betweens and back and forth and, like you said, contract edits like he just reported. No doubt. That's true. That's true. And this could be just a random thing. Like they made sure one side or the other got out to Coppinger and was like, hey, you know, this, right? And then he's out here reporting this. I'm not saying this is clickbait. And, you know, when you're a reporter and the sources are saying this, sometimes you just got to go with that, right? But, yeah, I really don't know. But the excuses, I mean, like, could the venue have been an issue? You know, we heard that there was a little bit of a venue issue with the T-Mobile in Vegas. And maybe they didn't want to do it at the MGM. I'm not sure why that would be. I know you can fit more people at the T-Mobile, and maybe, yeah, I don't know. Maybe there was a, I don't know. I really don't know. Like a price point, ticket price point issue. You know, who knows? But it hasn't stopped folks from just pure, some of it's just disgusting. Some of it's just ridiculous, right? I mean, we've heard already, you know, and seen people saying, oh, Caleb Plant ducked it. He outpriced himself. You know, Canelo ducked it. He didn't want to do drug tests. That's what people are alleging. He wanted Eddie Hearn to be the lead promoter, and the BBC side wouldn't allow it. Could that be something? I mean, I would say out of those things, duck, drug test, I would say Eddie Hearn, I mean, to be fair, right now, 7 weeks out, how much are you really going to get out of a drug test, to be honest with you? But I don't think it's that, you know. Eddie Hearn being the lead promoter, and that's what Canelo wanted to stick to, could that be a thing? I mean, I would be willing to accept that, maybe. Like I said, the other side of it is Plant outpriced himself. He asked for too much of a split on the back end. The PBC didn't offer a one-fight deal. It was only a three-fight deal. Maybe they snuck it in, you know, at the end in those contracts, you know, thinking they wouldn't see it, as if they wouldn't see something like that. You know, that's speculation. You know, we've heard in multiple arenas, areas, that, you know, that they were willing to do a one-off. And even when Coppinger and many other folks reported it, you know, they said it was a one-fight deal. So, yeah, I mean, it is a strange occurrence, though, I'll say that. That, like I mentioned, when you have the money figured out, that's kind of strange for that to not happen. Now, that, like I said, doesn't mean it's not going to happen. but whoever's now going to get the Canelo fight, like I said, it's like 7.5 weeks away. And this was a little different, you know, although they talked about options, and I'm sure they have some backup plans, right? Because Canelo is such a big fight that people will take it, just like, you know, the Liam Smith fight. Or not the Liam Smith, but the Callum Smith fight, right? There was a little in between, and all of a sudden, hey, what's going to happen? And it's 6 weeks away or whatever it was. So, but like I said, it's different, though, when you know you're involved with some talks. Like, they're talking to multiple folks, and they're getting a gauge of what everybody would need to make this fight happen. 3-4 different opponents. So if you know, you know, a few weeks ago, let's say 3-4 weeks ago, you knew that you're in the bidding for this, so to speak, you're in the running, well, then you just start your camp. You do like a week or two of just, you know, I'm not saying you go full in the camp, but you get to the point where a couple of weeks to get that groove going, you know what I mean, to get some of the rust off. It kind of matters where these folks are. Like, Benavidez is going to fight in a couple of weeks, or what, in a month or so. He's not going to fight, more than likely, this fight. But if it's Better Biev or Bivol, these guys aren't going to even have an eight-week camp. You know, and a lot of people, like I said, will take, you hear people say, I was in a three-month camp. Usually that first month is really just getting the weight right, getting the rust off, getting the rhythm and the timing together, then starting the full. It's not necessarily sparring 3 months out of a fight, you know what I mean? So it didn't really seem like they were in talks with anybody else, like serious talks, you know, as did Caleb. So, and everyone must have, you know, even if you were somewhat, even like if you were Bivol, last week they were reporting that the fight's done. So it's like, whatever. I don't know. It just messed up. Would I still want to see Better Biev and Bivol? Of course. Of course I would. And it would be a slick move to get the fight, I'm not going to say on short notice, but not with a full 8 week camp, 8 to 10 week camp. It'd be a slick way to fight those guys. You know, I don't know. It's still up in the air right now. You know, it did seem like this fight was done. But, you know, until they sign the contracts, and a lot of people until they get in the ring, right? Some people, it is like that. You got to wait till they get in the ring, like Tyson Fury now. But I don't necessarily have to wait till they get in the ring. But, you know, it needs to be announced, tickets on sale, for me to just be like, yes, this fight's 100% happening. And I still kind of have that mentality right now. You know, I still kind of have that mentality right now where it's like, well, this doesn't mean it's over. You know, it just, there's not much time left, so to speak. Anyway, yeah, so that's where we're at. And like I mentioned, it's crazy. I was literally, you know, I was literally going to, you know, this is what he also said, you know, when they said, you know, he reported, he tweeted saying that, you know, they've broken off, talks have broken off, and the 11 disagreements and the contracts. Sources: Canelo Alvarez was set to earn more than $40 million guaranteed, upward of $10 million for Caleb Plant. Now, upward of $10 million, what's that mean? Upward of $10 million? So that's what he could have made if the pay-per-view, you know, is that the most he could have made with the pay-per-view numbers? I mean, I suppose there really is no cap on most you could make, but it's not like this thing's going to do $1.5 million or something like that. Upward. Career-high payday for both fighters. We'll see if they can quickly circle back to, you know, to a deal that was nearly completed. So he doesn't really give exact numbers, but this was the funny part here. Like, I mean, Canelo Alvarez has reportedly now received a contract for the Caleb Plant Undisputed, further progress towards a deal. This is Coppinger from the 24th. you know, just today, you know, Michael Benson tweeted, told by Eddie Hearn that Canelo Caleb is now at contract stages for the BBC on Fox pay-per-view. September 18th. If the contract is correct, I believe he'll take the fight. Lawyers are going through the contract at the moment, and I guess there'll be an announcement. And I guess there'll be an announcement in due course. He also said, asked Eddie Hearn about Canelo, blah blah. Canelo's made it clear to me that I'm on his team, but I'm not going to jeopardize his legacy. I want him to be undisputed. If I have to just be part of the team and not lead a promotion, it's no problem. So he put this out today, 8:28 Central Time. Okay? Now at 1-something, what did I say, 1:40? All of a sudden, could that be the problem? That Eddie Hearn, that, and this is pure speculation. I'm not going to go out there and act like I have sources for this, okay? But it is kind of random how he said, you know, Canelo made it clear to me that I'm on his team, but I'm not going to jeopardize his legacy. Well, you don't have Canelo signed a match from USA or to Zone, so you wouldn't get in the way of much. But then again, if Canelo's saying, hey, I want him to be the lead promoter, and allegedly, let's just say, in theory, right, speculation all the way, that the BBC side, Al Haymon, didn't want that he could co-promote or something, but he can't be a lead promoter, or maybe he can't promote at all. Would that be what would slow it down? You know, you'd think that was already figured out, but, you know, he said, it does set up perfectly for Eddie already having these comments out. Hey, you know, if I'm not the lead, no problem. I'll just be on the team. I'll walk them out. Stuff. I'll hold the spit bucket or whatever, you know. But I'm not going to jeopardize his legacy. It's like, dude, what? And then he'll be like, no, you know, I mean, Canelo wanted that. So it's not me, it's him. And he calls the shots, you know. So that would be a perfect, I'm gonna save that tweet just in case, because that would be perfect for him. That would be perfect. Just slide in and be like, oh, my bad. Huh, yeah, I don't, that's Canelo, though, you know. And who knows? Like I said, with this stuff, you never can know. You don't know for a fact. We don't know for a fact what this stuff is. But that's about all I'm going to go. That's long enough, I'd say. I've already talked about what everybody has tweeted about, you know, both sides ducking or this, that, and the third, or outpricing themselves, or drug test, or, you know, all sorts of stuff. But I would have to say the top two reasons that it could be a sticking point, potentially, I could see that the venue, there's something up at the venue, I don't know, or, you know, maybe Canelo does want Eddie to be the lead promoter. Because other than that, when you get the money figured out, and I just don't see Plant like that tweet says, saying he wants the lion's share, or even 50-50, like, you know, I don't know. But 40-10, I mean, that's the lion's share, you know, 40-something to upward of 10, you know, who knows what that even means, really. I mean, I know what upward means, but it's vaguely written, let's put it that way. So, yeah, there's that. Now, over the weekend, Joe Joyce and Carlos Takam fought. You know, the first round or two was mostly jabs from Joe Joyce. Carlos Takam, he freaking landed like five or six really clean right hands early. In the first round. I guess that's early, but not early in the round. You know what I'm saying. And then it seemed like the late lands stole the round in the second round for him as well, because, you know, Joyce was basically just jabbing. Now, in the third round, there was some good back and forth. Now, this time, Joyce, you know, closed stronger. I thought, you know, he of course, he had the jab, but he started landing some hooks, too. And by the fourth round, that jab and hooks to the body in head, he landed some good body shots with that left hook, right hook, too, I think. But and by the fifth round, you know, you could see Carlos start to slow down a little bit. And, you know, Joyce was just busier and landing cleaner. And then I believe what set it off was a left hook pretty early in the sixth round. A lot of folks talking about, you know, this stoppage, that it was a horrible stoppage. And don't get me wrong, it's not like there was punches and bunches. He must have thrown like 30 plus punches. But I counted 22 shots landed, some just decently, some just okay, some pretty hard. And, you know, when you don't respond, when you get hit with 22 shots and it's well over 30 thrown in that barrage, you could say, and it's unanswered, it's a good chance. And you're like leaning over and you're not, I'm not saying you're not unresponsive, but you're not throwing anything. It's probably going to happen. You know, it's probably going to happen. So can you make a case that, for example, overall, if you look at the last 10 years of TKOs, you know, in the UK compared to here, could you say they stop them earlier there than here? Sure. Yeah, you could say that. I think that's fair. You could also say that a lot of them were smarter to stop them early. Some of them were premature, though. And it's like a way to build up the contender, whatever, their knockout rate, right? So, you know, it is what it is. It wasn't much of a fight. Some people were freaking out that Joyce was getting hit. It's like, really? Have you watched Joe Joyce fight? He gets hit, dude. And don't get me wrong. Like I said, in those first two to three rounds, but especially the first two, he was getting hit really hard for those right hands. But he managed to get through them and wear down Takam, and he knocked him out, TKO. So it was, you know, it was good. They're talking about a variety of things. Chisora's popping off. Obviously, him and Dillian White would be a great fight. I don't see that happening anytime soon. But, yeah, I think Chisora. I really think he'll fight Chisora at some point. But who knows? But, yeah, I mean, Joe Joyce is, you know, they got to put the pedal to the metal because of his age. You know, he's not getting any younger. And you might as well see, you know, what he has. I mean, a lot of people discounted him against Dubois, and he beat Dubois. So, but a good performance for what Joe Joyce is. He's an exciting, powerful puncher, and he's not that fast. I'll say that. Now, I know he's the juggernaut and all that, but that that costume was pretty corny. I have to admit that was a pretty corny costume. Now, as far as the showbox goes, you know, it was the 20th anniversary. I did like how, what'd they say, 83 champs that they've produced on that show that has at least graced the airways of Showbox. I remember, speaking of Coppinger, I remember not long ago when he was introducing for someone, I believe he was working for at the time, Ring City USA, which, you know, that I liked that series so far. I liked what they were doing with it. Hopefully it stays around. It, you know, it's been kind of quiet, but we know that NBC Sports Network, who they had to deal with, is not going to be around anymore. So I don't know if it's going to be a Peacock at NBC during the afternoon, or I have no clue. But he went out of his way to rip Showbox, you know. it won't be like Showbox either. You know, it's just funny. That's just how it goes. I did like how the between rounds at times they would go, you know, back in time and see Ricky Hatton or whatever. You know, a bunch of different fighters, and they did list. Wouldn't they have like a top? I think it was a top 15 list or something like that. It was, let's see here. And this is not in any order, but Timothy Bradley, Lucien Boutte, Diego Corrales, Chad Dawson, Nonito Donaire, Carl Franch, Tyson Fury, Robert Guerrero, Juan Guzman, Ricky Hatton, Guillermo Rigondeaux, Clarissa Shields, Errol Spence Jr., Andre Ward, and Paul Williams. I mean, Spence, Ward, Rigo, Carl Froch, Fury, Hatton, Corrales, Nonito, Bradley, like that. That's a pretty damn good list. I will say that. That's a pretty damn good list. I actually, in the opener, I had Martino Jules, I think it is. He was going against Avagunyan. I forgot how to say that guy's last name. Both of them were unbeaten. I think both of them were 10-0. This is a tight fight, though. You know, I just, the knockdown did it for me. That's what did it. It was in the, eighth round? Last round? Oh, boy, was winning the round. And it was like a sharp left hook at the 50-second mark that scored the knockdown. And that's what it did, you know, for me. I thought Jules kind of picked it up down the stretch, becoming more aggressive, and then he would kind of land quick combos and move. He was just a little bit more versatile. That's what I saw out of that first fight. But like I said, I had it 4-4. So 76-75. The scorecards had it 79-72. I don't know what that – see, if it's always just one – not out. I mean, sometimes it's multiple, right? But it just seems like always one scorecard where you're like, really, dude, 79-72? 78-73 and 77-74, I believe, with the cards. Like I said, I had it 4-4, but that knockdown did it. 76-75 for Jules. Then you had Figueroa Boca Chica versus Chouinard Bunch. And I was impressed with Bunch. You know, the lead right hands. He had a nice jab. I thought he fought at a great, great distance. His jab was, like, clean, dude. It was stiff, too, at times. He would land a stiff jab, then follow it by a right hand. You know, I gave him the first three rounds. I thought he was doing, you know, he actually started and landed a pretty good hook as well. I think it was a left hook. Then it started to tighten up. You know, I gave Boca possibly in a closer round the fourth. I think I gave him the seventh as well. He landed the better shots. But that jab and pivot, and then even, like, down the stretch in the ninth round, flush right hands early. Like, to me, Bunch won this one, you know, pretty cleanly. Somehow the scorecard, but it was a draw. Like, 97-93 Bunch. Boca had it 96-94. They had it for him, 96-94. And then 95-95. And, you know, punch stats are just a very small measurement. Bunch outlanded of 124 to 108. He was a minorly more accurate because he threw a little less. But I thought it was a bullshit draw. You know, I think it was a ridiculous draw. I mean, how many rounds? I'm looking at my card. 1, 2, 3. I mean, I had it like 7-3 or like one of those fights that like, you know, a 6-4, but real clean and easy to tell. You know, I didn't see Boca Chica winning that fight. I think that was a bullshit draw. Then you had Isaiah Steen and Kelvin Henderson. I had Steen winning this fight 6-4. Kind of a mixture way it started, though. I had Henderson win in the first round. Then I had Steen win in the second. He landed like a flush left hook, or like a left hook and then a flush right hand early. Good back and forth, though. And Henderson landed, you know, pretty hard in that round, too. The fourth round was body work for me, for Henderson. In the fifth round, you know, his jab and left hooks were pretty good. There was like a nice shot late that maybe, you know, in the last part, maybe under 30 seconds in the fifth round, maybe enough to steal the round. I don't believe so, though. The fight kind of tapered off a little bit in the sixth, a little bit slower. I gave that to Steen. Gave the seventh and eighth as well. You know, the hooks and that chopping right hand. Felt like it was enough to win that seventh round. Jabs and movement, kind of mixing it up. The tenth was a very close round. You know, to me, I had it 6-4 pretty strongly for Steen. Henderson's body work in general, 25-11, I was pretty impressed in that. Overall, though, the punch stats are really, really close. Henderson was more accurate, threw a little less, but, you know, not a big deal there. Steen won on two cards, or wait, on all three, my bad. 97-93 on two of them is what I meant to say, and then 96-94. And I had it 6-4, maybe 7-3, but I had it 6-4. So overall, you know, a decent show box. I thought it was pretty good. Nothing crazy to write home about besides that bullshit draw, you know. I did think that was bullshit. So, yeah, there wasn't a whole lot more that we're going to get too detailed about. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I didn't think a whole lot of it. So, as far as this weekend, though, before we get to some fight news, and did you guys know that there was a video posted with Canelo getting his ass kicked? Even though when you watch the clip, you're like, huh, so he was getting his ass kicked right there. That's getting your ass kicked? He was wobbly, or was he on the ropes held him up? Or it's funny. And then articles, and of course, tweets at Boxing Twitter, right? But even YouTube channels. And, you know, trust me, we're so early in this news that you're going to see, probably right now it's going on, tonight, the next few nights, they're going to say the reason why this fight is off because, oh boy, was just working him over in sparring. I mean, literally, like, someone actually sent me, they heard me say it earlier in the show, Canelo Alvarez getting worked over by Ronald Ellis in sparring. This is BoxingNews24.com, Sean Jones. In a leaked sparring video this week, Canelo Alvarez took a lot of punishment from David Benavidez's recent knockout victim, Ronald Ellis. Having accustomed to seeing Canelo thrash overmatched fighters at 168, they mentioned Fielding and Saunders and Smith, he looked a lot less comfortable against a quality contender in Ellis. How Canelo was struggling against Ellis puts things in perspective of how poor Saunders, Smith, and Fielding were as champions. getting nailed by the bigger Ellis during the clip is obviously not a good sign for the Mexican star. It's just like, what? And when you see this footage, he actually has Blue Blood, which is clearly a biased channel. You know, he has that linked into it, the clip, where he's just working him over. You know, like, what? What's going on? What's going on here? It's funny, dude. It's really funny. And then he goes on to say, if Plant uses side-reach and excellent jab, he's got a better-than-average chance of defeating the goal-oriented Canelo in September. The only thing Plant has to worry about are these issues. A, running out of gas and getting hit by Canelo's uppercut. That's it. That's all he has to worry about. Not body or nothing. Dude, that is like, oh, my God, it's going to come out, too. They're going to be like, dude, did you see it, man? Did you see it, bro? He was getting worked over, bro. Seriously, bro. Worked going to talk a little bit about the mess that was Tyson Fury's camp as far as, you know, the COVID restrictions, right? Of course there's COVID restrictions, but the protocols, you know? There's an article where Bob Arum explains it, and it's like, yeah, that doesn't surprise me, but what in the hell were you thinking? I mean, what in the hell were you thinking? Okay, so DAZN is back in the backyard of Eddie Hearn, that is, of course. That's going to be on DAZN here in the U.S., and obviously DAZN in the U.K. Kind of sounds funny to say that, but it does make sense, being that that's the new deal. Conor Benn and Adrian Granados, 12-round welterweight fight in the main event. Zhu Kahn and Lee Wood for the WBA regular featherweight. Ooh. Tommy McCarthy and Chris William Smith. I've actually seen some UK fans pretty pumped about that, so I'll check that out. Jack Cohen and, oh yeah, Yildirim. That's right. Anthony Fowler is on the undercard against Roberto Garcia. Man, dude's still trying to do it, huh? Hopefully, you know, that Garcia is known to pull out of fights, I'm just saying. So hopefully, I mean, it's only Tuesday. And then Campbell Hatton is on the card as well. So, you know, I think Granados, to an extent, is a good test for Ben. And we'll see what Lee Wood, you know, has for Zhu Kahn. You know, I hope those are good fights. But, yeah, I like the Granados-Ben fight. I'm not going to call it brilliant, but it is a good prospect-level fight, though, for sure, because, you know, you're going against a vet, Granados, a solid dude. When was the last time he fought? I kind of forgot. Let me check really quick. Sometimes you gotta check. You know, you gotta get the old trusted box rack out and see when the hell he last fought. Now we know it has only been a handful of months since Samuel Vargas for Conor Benn. I think that was in the spring. Okay, so he fought to a draw, that's right, against Jose Luis Sanchez. Fought to a draw. I didn't see this fight, I don't believe, but I do remember. So that was in May. Okay, so he fought to a draw in May. Had a really, you know, fun fight to watch against Easter Jr. 2019. Okay, let's not go. So yeah. You know, it is what it is. Like, I don't mind that fight. I think that's a good fight for where he is. That's what you kind of gotta. That's how you kind of legislate stuff when you look at. I mean, what's in a main event or whatever? Yeah, sure, we can argue certain things like this weekend. You know, for BBC on Fox. You know, Coffee. Michael Coffey now is facing somebody else, but some people thought, well, that shouldn't have been a main event. Gerald Washington, speaking of a little bit of news anyway, as of not long ago, he withdrew due to COVID-19. Now Michael Coffey will face Jonathan Rice. And this is Keith Eidig, BoxingScene.com. And he's saying Rice, who's 13-6-1, has lost back-to-back bouts. But he did go the distance with F.A. Ajogba and managed to go the six-round distance with Tony Yoka. So, you know, oh boy, had been off. Actually, it says Washington, you know, he's 39-1. He's starting to get up there, no doubt about it. He was on a 17-month layoff, too. So that's a real bummer for him. But I don't know. I mean, to me... You know, I mean, Coffey looked good in his last fight. What is he? It says right here, 12-0, 19 KOs. He's coming off a big win for him in his career anyway against Darmani Rock earlier in the year. And Washington, Chris Martin beat his ass up, right? Sure. He did recently, or somewhat recently now, But I think before that, he had knocked out, well, Koznowski actually kind of surprisingly knocked him out early. But he did knock out Hellenius, who had just beat Koznowski, right? So I did look at this as a step-up fight, though. You know what I mean? And, you know, a guy like this, he could need some rounds, right? That's not the worst thing. But, yeah, I mean, whenever the main event was going to be your biggest step up as far as opposition, even if he is faded, it was going to be your hardest test. So I do like that from a prospect trying to turn himself into a contender. We could have an argument whether it should be a main event. Clearly, Fox and PBC has, for whatever reason, and maybe we'll find out, you know, by the end of this year if they continue their relationship or whatever, but clearly they've gone a different route. And it would seem that the budget cuts played a role in there someplace. But now lately they've been forking out a lot of money. I just went over, you know, paying Wilder, paying Pacquiao in spent, and then having the money to at least pitch in a large amount, at least, right, for that Canelo fight. So could Fox now have some money laying around and maybe they'll go to purse bid or be willing to split with ESPN and do that fight with Porter? Yeah, I don't know. It's tough to say, but clearly they've we're not getting the quality we did in 2019, early 2020, before the pandemic. That's just the writing's on the wall with that. But it is giving exposure to young fighters. Now, the opener is Joey Spencer versus Dan Carpentier in a 154-pound eight-rounder. You know, we'll see. Hopefully Spencer gets a tough fight. Now, I'll say this. The co-feature I like a lot because, you know, James Martin just beat Vito Malnecki Jr. Just beat him. And for him to go right back into it, he just turned 19. I like that fight a lot. And I will say this. Of late, I mean, their last card, the main event, it wasn't much. But we got, like, one of the best fights, if not the best fights of the year, in the co-feature. Now, I'm not trying to put the pressure on, you know, Malnecki and Martin, like that's going to be the same fight. But my point for bringing that up is they actually turned out better, you know, like that Harrison card, you know, that Harrison-Perella card. That was a much closer fight than I anticipated going in. And then we had an upset. You know, we had a pretty big upset. So, you know, I like to judge it in the ring. That's always something that I'll do and not just sure, you can get lucky or something like that, but after a while, that gets a little old. But we'll see. Is this the writing on the wall or not, you know, as far as their, you know, relationship moving forward? I've said it many times. I want to see Fox still in the boxing game, just like I want to see ESPN. However, little program alert, FS1 will be running their show, not the prelim, but after the fight. They did this a couple of times. The main event is Andre Durrell versus Christopher Brooker, who we've seen a bunch in a variety of ways on Showbox, FS1. So Durrell's back, wow, at light heavyweight, 10-rounder. Then Malik Montgomery against Angel Contreras in a 10-round featherweight. And then Paul Kroll and Justin Deloach. We'll see what Deloach has left because he's been fighting a lot of tough fights over the years. Last couple of years. But that's a 10-rounder, and Paul Crow's coming off a big win for him. So, you know, I don't know. Two out of those three might be pretty good. It kind of matters. I don't know what to think of Deloach right now. You know what I mean? Don't know for a fact if, yeah, I don't know. That's a little tough one. It's tough, man, because, you know, Deloach, we'd always kind of knew his, you know, his level, I guess you could say, but then he'd score like a big knockout or something over, like, you know, he had that win over Pearson and Dominique Dolton, and, you know, and he was all of a sudden on like a nice little run. But, you know, he's fought a lot of tough dudes, like Nathan Gallimore, who actually just got a big win, Rosario before he, you know, this is back 2018 or something, 17, 18, 19, something like that. He actually just fought and gave a pretty decent, well, not just fought, that's right, that was last year, wasn't it? Yeah, actually, that was more than a year ago. What am I saying against this Stanonius? So, yeah, it's tough to say what kind of shape he's in. This is kind of getting announced pretty late. The point is, this weekend, you're not going to see, you know, there's actually an Atlantic City card, Flow Sports. I believe there's a UFC card with DiBella, if I'm not mistaken, on Friday. Boston Boxing YouTube is Friday night. Just a heads up. Estrella, okay. Friday night, July 30th, Estrella TV. Eric Leon and Juan Mareces Rodriguez. Mareces. There it is. Okay, that's Thursday night. My bad. UFC fight night. So, Nunez and Aguero. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to act. I'm not going to pump this weekend up like, dude. Yeah, bro. This, but you never know. I mean, I would say on paper, I'd probably favor the DAZN card, but I do like that Martin Melenecki. I want to see what Melenecki left LA. He said he needed to spend some time with his family. He was kind of homesick. You know, I don't know. I'm that's the most intriguing fight right there. That's the most intriguing fight. But like I said, it's not, you know, I'm just not good at it. That's on FS1 though. That other card, if I didn't mention that, not Fox. Post box, but on FS1. So yeah, there's really not a whole lot to talk about beyond that. You know what I mean? To be honest with you, there was some talk about Crawford and Porter. You know, Aram saying he's optimistic that he can get a deal done. Last year, this is from Keith Idick, Boxing Scene, because you know we heard about that $1 million offer that he offered Porter. And like, hey, take it or leave it, you know. And clearly that's a bullshit offer. You know what I mean? It's not really an offer. Last year, this is what Aram said, last year there was no mandatory involved. This year, it's a fight that's been demanded by the WBO, and let's see how we get it done. It's a lot of different vibe when an organization mandates a fight that is a real fight. It's another thing when an organization mandates a fight that is non-competitive, which happens so many times. But nobody can say that this fight isn't competitive, and that's very true. Another thing he said, you know, he said, fuck his legacy, Aram did about Crawford. Fuck any of that. He has to fight this fight to keep his title, and I'll leave his legacy or lack of legacy up to you. Terrence is a terrific fighter. He's fought everybody that we can get for him, and obviously Porter is the biggest name that he will have fought recently. You know, he talked about how maybe it'll be a split, you know. Talking about maybe. Hopefully we will be able to get it done, Aram said, talking about working with TGB and PBC. I mean, it's a good fight. We're prepared to do it. Let's see how it works out. I thought the WBO was very fair to Porter's side with the 40%, and I think it'll do reasonable well on pay-per-view. The way we left it, Top Rank Todd DeBuff would talk to PBC people who we're working with now to see what could be done in a cooperative basis. Then it goes to that 30-day thing. And also, Dan Raphael on World Boxing News Net, he did get an exclusive, I think, before that. just mentioning a lot, very similar stuff. The way we plan to approach it is the first thing we're going to do is talk to Porter's team at PBC and see what they want to do. Do they want to do it jointly? Because, you know, they're doing that jointly with Fury and Wilder, yada, yada, yada. We'll have to see where they stand on it, and then they'll talk to Porter. We'll talk to Crawford and try to put it together. I know Porter wants to fight because I had a conversation with his father and trainer, Ken Porter, a couple of months ago about the fight, and we did report on that as well. And, you know, BOMAC, the manager and trainer for Crawford, said it's go time. This is what I think he tweeted. It's go time. Now there will be no doubt that Bud is 147 pounds supreme. After beating Porter, we want the winner of Spence and Pacquiao, which is obviously music to our ears. And he says, but will Crawford Porter get made? It'll get done, he said. That's what McIntyre said. So, you know, who knows? But Arum said that it will not necessarily – oh, that it won't be necessary, the first bid. It's not going to a first bid. Interesting. It could just be talking, but interesting. Obviously, they'd have to push it to November. October 23rd was the date they had for Crawford, but he said that's not really in play because you don't want to go just a couple of weeks after, you know, a pay-per-view fight. What else he says? People are strange. They stay in their own silo until some outside forces them out of their silo. That's not a knock on PBC. It's a knock on us also. But it's one thing for a promoter to do a voluntary. It's another thing for promoters to do it voluntarily. What the hell? After they've been ordered by an organization, blah, 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 blah. So, I don't know. I'm just reporting on a couple of things on that. I'm not getting too deep into that one. You know what I mean? I really don't know. But here's some stuff. Hopefully that, you know, that's the beauty of it. We'll know soon enough because it'll go to a purse bid. If not, you know what I mean? And, you know, let's just say, in theory, if Canelo implant doesn't take place, well, you know that money DAZN had laying around? It's probably going to be put to use for Canelo's next opponent. And then that means Fox would have something earmarked. Maybe they would be willing to go half and half for that fight. I'm not sure. Not sure. This is also, though, like I said, with Dan Raphael. He's just said, talking about the second shot, first shot, all that dumb shit. But also they're saying, you know, they told me he's vaccinated. I assume it was two shots. Who gets vaccinated doesn't get, you know, the second shot. He only had one shot. I never knew that he hadn't got it until he got sick. I really screamed at all of them. It was completely fucked up. In the gym, I mean, we had no controls. It was like every sparring partner brought his friend or a corner people, other corner people. Like, it says trainer Sugar Hill Stewart had these Russians he trains running around. There was absolutely no precautions taken, which is a lot was our fault. We should have been the adult in the room, and that, I totally agree. I mean, I don't blame it all on them, but, you know, there's a lot of money for Top Rank to potentially make, too, and or at least to recoup. And, you know, you want that recoup number as high as you can get it. And what we're going to do now is nobody's allowed the gym unless, you know, they're there to do something. We're not going to allow the press in the gym. Nobody's coming into the gym without getting a fast COVID test. Nobody, which already should have been the thing. And also sparring partners, bringing friends in. Come on, dude. He has a beautiful home that he bought in Las Vegas. I went over to the home the next day after he was diagnosed. At that particular point, he was having trouble, not trouble breathing, but his lungs were filled up with mucus or whatever. His cook came down with it, a couple of his sparring partners, F.A., he went to the hospital really quick. So if it had occurred 2 weeks earlier, he would have gone through with the fight, but he wasn't going to be able to trade for a week at least or do anything. Blah, blah, blah. So he said, we talked from across the room. I had a mask on. He had a mask on. He was lethargic. When I talked to him, he wasn't like a guy who was really sick, ready for the ICU. He was a guy who was just congested. But, yeah, I mean, for that, it's crazy that that was the testing. You know what I mean? Like, really, dude, that's what you were going with? You were just allowing anybody to come in the gym and just random stuff? Maybe not anybody, but kind of anybody when it comes to that. I mean, all right, so I'm not going to keep you guys too much longer. We'll go over a little bit of fight news. There's not a whole lot beyond what we already led with Canelo and Plant and the talk issues. So we'll go over a little bit of fight news and a little bit of boxing Twitter, and then we'll get the hell out of here. This is also Michael Benson. Told by Eddie Hearn that Dillian White's next fight, reported versus Jermaine Franklin, is now most likely September 11th in the U.S. Hearn may move the bout's plan for his August 28th show, too. What is it? Kiguchi and Soto, and then Akhmadaliev and Ronnie Rios. So they're just going to move this show. Wow. Okay. That's weird. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, by the way, just a little update. As of not long ago, today, the U.S. Olympic team is 7-1 in Tokyo. They won 7 straight after losing the first one. O'Shea Jones and Delonte Johnson both one fight away from bringing home a medal. Now, wait a second. Oh, one fight away. So, if they, well, didn't they go to the quarterfinals? Like, in the semis, it doesn't mean you get a – like, if you make it to the semis, you could still get fourth place, right? So they're 7-1. Let's see how they do in these upcoming rounds. James Martin, by the way, is a plus 240. And Vito Milonecki is a minus 333. Just saying out there. I'm not saying Milonecki can't win because I feel like he's going to. He was doing, you know, I don't know. I just think this is a closer fight than a plus 240. Let's put it that way. I think it's something to look at. By the way, Caroline Dubois won a unanimous point decision in her senior Olympic debut, meaning she sealed a place in the lightweight last 16. So good for her, Dubois' sister. What else we got here for fight news? Oh, here we go. Almost forgot. Ryan Garcia, this is ESPN. Ryan Garcia and JoJo Diaz is in talks to potentially take place later this year, Diaz has confirmed. Now, that would be a good fight. Don't get me wrong. You know, there's plenty of this or that or that or this. You know, we could say, like, where's Devin Haney in this, right? Well, Devin Haney isn't with Golden Boy, and JoJo is. So, you know, that makes it even easier. Most of it is, well, there's a little follow-up on Teofimo Lopez's issue with Triller right now. Bob Arum and Ford Boxing seen that Top Rank has reserved an undisclosed date in September for ESPN to televise Lopez and Camposos if the IBF rules that Triller fight has defaulted on its winning bid for the lightweight title fight. Now, obviously, you know, we can't forget about Matchroom was second. Matchroom was second. So, who knows? He even says that if the first bidder defaults, then it goes to the second bidder. That's Matchroom. And they don't have to do it. There's no consequences for the passing. And then it's up to us if they want to do it. And the answer is most definitely want to do it. We'll do it. We'll do that fight in September. But again, we may not have the opportunity. So The IBF may decide, he said, one, the IBF may decide in favor of Triller, and Triller makes everything right. He does the fight on the appropriate date in the United States in September. A lot of things can happen, but as Teofimo promoter besides signing his, but as Teo's promoter besides signing a new contract with him, we're obligated to do that. Obligated to do that fight if the arrangements fall out. So that's still kind of up in the air. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. This is Fury from Mail Sport. Tyson Fury on Wilder COVID postponement. On Wilder COVID postponement, it's a weird way to put that. I'm the last person to blame. I don't have a large entourage, unlike most champs with ass-licking hanger-oners. Only people whose movements I couldn't control were sparring partners. I suspect we caught from one of them. It's not your fault. Yeah, you're the last one to blame, right? You're in control of your camp, brah. This is Lance Pug. Insiders telling me the expectation is that Crawford and Showtime, PBC, Premier Boxing, winds up being, they'll win the first bid. The likely future home for Crawford because of the fighters that they have. So now he's saying inside sources tell me this. For whatever that's worth. Okay, I read this earlier, but for those who missed it, sources say the reason, this is Boxing Twitter segment. Not get it twisted. The reason the Canelo versus Plant fight fell through was because Canelo wanted an 80-20 split in his favor and Plant wanted 65-45 split in his favor. And there was a lot of people that bit that apple on that tweet. Whether it was a joke or not, I don't really totally know. This is Lee Groves Boxing. If this fight, is the fight dead? I believe not yet. There's incentive on both sides to make this happen. Plant has the belt Canelo needs if he wants to be undisputed, and Canelo fight win would produce the huge payday and a signature win for Plant. The clock and its urgency will do its work. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. That's a very good point, actually, if you think about it. What else we got here? According to Twitter, no fighter ever has fought any real competition. They all fought bums or guys past their prime. Yeah, especially for fanboys, right? That's funny. This is Danny Flexen. Joyce threw 33 unanswered punches, landed most of them before the stoppage. Some observers want a body more than Wilder. This is Spence. Being a swing bout was nerve-wracking. Every time it looked like someone was about to get stopped, you start warming up in the mats or hitting the mitts. He may get out of the round, and you just sit back down. Yeah, that would be weird. I've always thought that to be a really strange one. Now, there was rumors about Virgil Ortiz saying that he didn't want the fight, that it was offered to him. In fact, Mark Kriegel from ESPN, he said that Virgil Ortiz's team turned it down, the 147 Mando via WBO, and that's why they ordered Porter. And remember, he did move to the number one spot out of nowhere. So that was kind of weird. I'll give him that. But that doesn't just, mean 100%. And by the way, we did get a little backup on that one. Where did it go? This is Roberto Diaz of Golden Boy. Let me make it very clear. Virgil Ortiz has never turned down anyone at any time. On the contrary, he wants all the smoke and then some. He's ready, and when the time is right, the time comes, he will fight Terrence Crawford and beat him like he's done to everyone else. Until then, he focuses on Mean Machine. And that's another thing. Like, so usually they just call the shit. Now, I'm sure there's some talks behind closed doors and say, hey, my guy's lined up. We can make fights easier to make because we're on the same platform or whatever. I'm not saying they're on the same platform, but, you know, or the sanction belts just kind of know, okay, well, this fight could be made. Let's do it. Maybe they'll do it, you know. Ortiz won't take a big, need a big contract to fight him. His minimum smaller. Let's try it, you know, that type of thing. So to say they, I'm not saying that there's not behind the scenes talk, like I mentioned, but so they were going to be like, well, let's hold off on the announcement and make sure he'll take it. Well, when they announce it, there's no guarantee that it's going to take it. Just like Porter, there's no guarantee this fight gets done. Keith Thurman could sneak in and get a fight with him, because remember, that fight was in talks. Now, whether it broke off or not, or they decided to push it back, or maybe Thurman wanted a comeback fight and then face him, I don't know. But it'd be weird to be like, hey, we want to announce this, but we want to make sure you're going to take it. That's generally how these aren't, you know, that they don't necessarily work that way. So it's like, and then there's going to be more money in the pot for Porter and Crawford than there is Ortiz and Crawford. So why wouldn't, percentage-wise, why wouldn't they want that fight, you know, off of their take? Anyway, speaking of Mandos, this is Jim Karras Boxing. Not interested in the Charlo Mando. That fight happening could mean we also get Castano versus Tim Zhu, which is an awesome matchup. So I'll take the good with the bad. Winners can face each other. Yeah, if we had to do that, that is a good-ass fight. I'll say that. This is Rich Diggs. I don't believe any boxer – I don't believe any boxing reporters when they say top boxers said no to a fight. What they usually mean is some manager, promoter, or trainer said no, and it's usually before a promoter is about to announce a fight we don't want to see. Yeah, although I don't know if that fits into the machine as a good fight for him at this stage. Okay, so this is a Twitter, boxing Twitter funny thing here. Terrence Crawford versus Sean Porter falls apart due to insufficient offers and low bids. Likely both fail to negotiate a price. WBA title goes vacant. Virgil Ortiz, Sean Porter fight for the vacant. This is my call. Watch the body drop. Well, first of all, when you say insufficient funds, there wouldn't be insufficient funds because that really doesn't line up. I mean, the minimum is $200,000. So now you could say, you know, that it's a low bid. Some, you know, there's not enough people bidding on it high, so the low bid made Porter drop out. But if Porter drops out, then they're just going to get a new one for Crawford. So, you know what I mean? Like, the lowest bid is $200,000. Well, if someone bid $2 million for this fight, yeah, I agree. Crawford would drop the belt at that point because he's got a $4 million minimum. But to say it's insufficient offers and low bids, I don't know. I think Crawford's minimum is so known publicly now that everyone kind of knows at least that's the baseline. And you know it's not going to be just a mill for Porter. I'm saying there could be a scenario where the fight doesn't happen, but I don't know if it'd be because of that. If you were okay with Gervonta not fighting Loma, but mad at Virgil Ortiz for not fighting Crawford, then you're not a boxing fan, you're a company fan. I don't understand why some of y'all are not excited to see Porter versus Crawford. Sean did give Spence trouble. It won't be an easy fight for Terrence. Yeah, there is some people out there saying, nah, I don't even want to see it, dude. It's the style matchup. Oh, I mean, I can understand the style matchup is different when it comes to Crawford compared to those other fighters, especially Spence or Danny Garcia, whereas you do see Thurman more on the move. Not for much of that fight, actually. He traded plenty when they fought years ago, but yeah, I don't know. Oh, someone sent me this, and then I think we'll close down the show. The Social Gloves, Battle of the Platforms, YouTuber versus TikTok. Oh, yeah, I remember this. Boxing event lost at least $10 million. I did actually see this report, and investors now trying to recoup their money, including James Harden. So James Harden said, yeah, man, I'm in, dude. We're just going to be Triller. It'll be just like Triller. Just be like Triller, bro. I'm in. I guess it lost $10 million. That was on June 12th. They were supposed to usher in a new era of pandemic live entertainment, combining high-energy performance from DJ Khaled, Migos, and Little Baby with a headlining fight between a YouTuber and a TikToker. Broadcast live stream platform LiveX Live. Organizers hope to create a model, blah, 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 but it lost $10 million. Ooh, with investors, producers, and 15 boxers still waiting to get paid. James Harden, I mentioned, is one of the main investors in the Battle of the Platforms, which cost $20 million to produce. And sources say at least one of the NBA players' investment as well, blah, 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 but someone else made an investment. Despite the losses, LiveX Live chairman and chief executive Rob Elin told shareholders on a June 28th earning call that the much-hyped event was a success and would lead to new content ideas. As for the large losses, disclosed for the first time that despite being the only established brand promoting the fight, LiveX Live had no ownership stake in the Battle of Platforms and no risk in the event. Okay. So they're like, hey, man, that's on you. You invested it. Sorry. So they were trying to, like it says here, follow the playbook of Triller. And it didn't go so well for them, obviously. So, yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. While the ticket sales revenue wasn't enough to make up for the $2 million year-over-year drop in subscription revenue and 20% drop in monthly active users for its streaming audio device, LiveX Live hopes to change that by increasing the number of pay-per-view events it works on. For the fiscal year ending March 31st, 2021, reported $40 million in gross losses and has lost $160 million total since going public in 2017. Battle of Platform, $6.5 million to $10 million in revenue from pay-per-view sales and sponsors. Oh my God, the lawyers for Harden, McBroom and Hall were both promised $5 million to both of them? So you gave $5 million to both of them and neither of them? Oh, wow. That's not a good look. All right, that's it. That's all. We're going to hope for some really, really good fights that are kind of mid-level prospect stuff. Some decent mid-level fights this weekend. Let's hope for a good-ass fight. I'll be back next, probably Sunday. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe that you feel you have the upper hand.